Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
From the home of time.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team.
Woo! This is Charlton Live.
Charlton Live.
Lovely block from Fosu to stop it coming in. Oh, finds Kaikai. Kaikai back to Fosu and he's on a run. Tariq Fosu trying to be taken out by Vincelot. He's gone past him. Kaikai ahead. Marshall to his right. Marshall, edge of the penalty area. Inside it now. Chip ball back looking for McGuinness. Oh, he's found him. And it's
yes!
Oh, just McGuinness.
He's off. Offside.
He's giving it.
Get in now.
Josh McGuinness with the faintest of flicks from a Marshall cross. But it was made by Kaikai and Fosu in Charlton's half. They sprung into the Bradford half. Vincelot trying to take out Fosu. He kept running towards the edge of the penalty area. Found Marshall to his right. Stepped inside the box. Little chip ball looking for McGuinness, who got there in a little deftest of flicks. The keeper, Doyle, got his hand to it. Couldn't keep it out.
Upfield. Bauer wins the header, but he can't direct it towards McGuinness, which was his aim. Goes straight out of play. 15, 20 yards inside the Bradford half. Thrown in. And McMahon gets it back. McGuinness is pursuing him. McMahon goes down the line. Flick on from White towards Taylor. Taylor up against Konza. Being forced back outwards. Has to come out to Vincelot. Vincelot leaves it to McMahon, who chips it down the line to Taylor, who'd come into space. Wyke into the box. Eva Robinson, who gets his head there. And Bradford have the equaliser. Solly wasn't anywhere near strong enough to keep Taylor for Robinson out. And as with previous weeks, Charlton have succumbed to an equaliser with 10 minutes of normal time remaining.
Oh, every week. So disappointing.
There's the final whistle. It's 1-1 here at the Valley.
So, very good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes. This is the big match preview, looking ahead to Saturday's game up at MK Dons and, of course, back at Tuesday's draw with Bradford City here at the Valley. Joining me in the studio is Mr. Mark Newbury. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm very well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, has it enjoyed your pastry that you bought for us this week?
No, so? I have to have some reason for coming in. So.
Well, he didn't last time, did he? He was in the bad books last time.
Yeah, well, the time he came in without food, yeah, and he kicked him off. Joining the pair of us is Nathan Murray. Right, Nathan?
Yeah, not too bad, mate, not too bad.
Living the dream? Or?
Yeah, I'm still living the dream, even after Tuesday.
Always living the dream.
Apart from when they scored, as you could probably...
Yeah, well, and our goal was offside, apparently.
I thought it was, the flag was going, I was like, but luckily it wasn't.
I thought it was offside as well, because the player stopped celebrating very briefly as well. But there we go. Anyway, so on tonight's show, we will look back at that game with Bradford City, hearing from Carl Robinson after. We'll also discuss the fact that Alou Diarra has been training with us, the fact that we do keep conceding late goals over and over and over again, and of course, we will preview this Saturday's game as Carl Robinson returns to Stadium Mook to face his old tired McDonald's. Clever. Right, so I mean, we just had the highlights there. Nath, your commentary curse
still
continues.
Still not won
a single game that you've commentated on after all these years. I mean what did you make of the game?
I mean, obviously the end result was disappointing. I think Saturday's result, I was more gutted because they literally didn't have a sniff. But Tuesday, I think Bradford put it on our toes a little bit more second half. But I mean, the first 20 minutes, they couldn't get near us. We were on the turn. They couldn't get nowhere near us. And to be fair, we ain't gonna be able to do that for a whole game. Mm. But we were just so quick, and those three of Marshy, Kai Kai, and Fosu, they didn't know what to do. I mean, yeah, they set up defensive as you expected they would. But we dominated it, and you know, Marshall at the post, and as the game wore on, that tension started to build and build. Me and Terry kept saying it, and they didn't disappoint us. But it's gutting, but you know, it's not the end. We've still got two games, yeah, albeit against Shrews and Blackpool. But like I've said for the last few weeks, the destiny's still in our own hands. Yeah. But yeah, gutting, but yeah.
As that game went on, Mark, I felt it certainly had the feeling that the visitors, Bradford, were coming back into it, and I don't think anyone was particularly surprised to see that goal go in.
I think it was a case of sort of like when more than if.
Mm.
Then, I mean, especially after a free kick which had smacked down off the crossbar. Yeah. It's second half, they literally came and physically bullied us, and that's the thing. I mean, Fossey had a chance at 1-0 up.
Yeah, right at the start of the second half.
And he's lifted it over, and you're thinking, that goes in, different game. But I think they physically, I think at half-time talk, Grayson said, right, the referee's going to let you get away with it. So kick them, bully them. Physically, they're a big physical side. I mean, I think the lad who came on and scored with a header was the smallest one they had on the pitch.
Mm.
And they would dig in, and there were a couple of tackles where you're thinking, I mean, the fact that two of them got booked for tackling the same player, I think, must be some kind of record.
Yeah, although apparently one of them was actually rescinded at the time, which I didn't realise. I had that confirmed after.
Was that Vincelot, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, two of them went in for the challenge. Both of them got booked, but then one of them, the referee said, oh, I didn't mean to book you, and he books the other lad, apparently. But just the way that the game changed in that second half, I mean, was it disappointing that we weren't able to sort of build on our first half performance?
I think we didn't adapt. I think when we have a lot of time and the ball, and teams sit deep, we're comfortable with the ball. There's no doubt about that. And we were getting into little pockets, which were great, and we get loads of space. When they press us high and they really get physical, I think sometimes we get a bit apprehensive. And I think Bradford made us, and they made the game ugly. And they could see that first, like I said earlier, the first 20 minutes, we were just playing them off the park, and they just had to go, right, we've just got to go direct. Let's make them go long, because we have. I mean, Big Josh is big, but you know, he's not gonna.
But they start with five in midfield and sort of put the impetus on us to attack. And I think any team that, you know, does that, they're certainly going to see us enjoy possession of the ball. Sometimes we might struggle to get through them. Sometimes, like if you think of different home games where teams have come purely to defend, but we were playing well in that, in those opening 20 minutes ago. And I mean, just delighted to see Big Josh on the score sheet once again, twice in two home games now.
Oh, that's it. I mean, his work ethic in a game, you know, can't be faulted. Like I say, he's defending, he's attacking, and you see him calling for that ball as soon as Marshall gets it, and he's, you know, 15 yards from where he heads it, he's got his arm up saying, I want that, I want it on my head. And, you know, I'm so pleased that he's, you know, he's hit two and two.
Yeah, and the goal came from a quick turnover possession. I think, you know, they had the ball on the edge of our box, and we broke with it with Fosu, makes space for Marshall, ball in as well. So, I mean, that's something we've seen a lot of recently since Tariq Fosu's coming back in, how we can, you know, pick the ball up and drive us forward almost sometimes from nothing.
Yeah, no, it was great for Fosu to get it away, and then obviously he got to Kai Kai, and he'd done a little improvisation with a little sort of overhead heel or something, I don't know how you call it, but and then obviously Fosu broke, and obviously Marshall got in space, and obviously Marshall hit the post. And I thought Marshall played really well on Tuesday.
Yeah, he seemed really up for it, wasn't he? That was a great shot he had in the opening couple of minutes. It was tipped onto the post.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that we was right behind it, and I thought that was straight in the goal, because I really want Marshall to score. But, like you said, great ball. Like Mark said, great ball in. It's what Josh wants, and that's, you know, because we know he's not going to get in behind and, you know, like a little poacher's goal and getting beyond the back four. So we're playing to our strengths, but again, we just didn't capitalise on the chances when we should have. And like we've all said, it was a case of, like Mark said, a case of when, not if.
Yeah, especially at the start of that second half. I mean, Mark, you mentioned that shot that Fosu had
just
after half time that he lifted over the bar. But then, other than that, we weren't really creating too many clear-cut chances. And that's when Bradford started to come back into it. And we saw, you know, Chickson had that volley from the corner that Amos saved. And then McGuinness cleared off the line from the next one. So, I mean, Bradford certainly, they bought on Taylor. I think it was Ian Taylor came on, and they sort of seemed to change. The Taylor was getting a lot more forward, and maybe when they went to sort of like a 4-4-2, and they were certainly pushing men forward. And then that's when I guess a couple of people was then sort of saying, you're saying, oh, should we then adapt? Because they've adapted. I mean, do you think that's the case?
Well, I think when you're being pushed back that far, you have to do something. Personally, I'd have probably whipped off Jake because, you know, he'd been carded and they were niggling at him and they were trying to sort of like see to get him to bite and maybe put Joe on. Only he's a bit bigger. I mean, as I said, physically, I think we've, you know, we had Paddy and Big Josh. And that's it, you know, and the seven dwarves, the rest of them. I think this was a game of, I mean, I know he wasn't even anywhere near it, but I think if he'd had Piercy on there, he wouldn't have been bullied, he wouldn't have been pushed around, and he'd have handed out a few slaps himself. And, you know, I think this one came down purely physicality in that second half. The referee let them get away with a bit of stuff. And they pushed it to the limit as far as they could.
And as they were coming back in, we had a bit of a let off when McMahon's free kick hit the crossbar. And then we had our own one down the other end where Fosu, I think, tried to catch the keeper out, where he tried to curl a free kick, you know, that appeared to be in a crossing position towards goal. But then the inevitable did finally happen on 80 minutes. Now, I spoke to Carl after, he's sort of bemoaning a deflection on the cross. He thinks that Solly was underneath it, and then there was a deflection on the cross. I mean, did you see that? I personally haven't been able to...
It looked like a very quick move down the wing, and they were then starting to play some one-touch stuff. And then as soon as the cross came over, you know, the young lads got, you know, the wrong side of Solly and got his head to it. And, you know, and it, let's say, with that, and you're thinking, OK, 10 minutes ago, are they going to score again? Because you thought, I couldn't see us getting a last-minute winner. Really couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, especially when I think Gilead had a chance not long after, actually, that they pulled it back to 1-1 as well. Now, Charlton did bring on Zyro late on. What did you make of his sort of cameo performance now?
Not very good. Quite criminal, really, but he went to put it out wide, didn't he?
Yeah, he's still very much coming back to fitness, isn't he?
Yeah, he was. And I think you can tell he's a bit rusty. I mean, he got the ball straight away. I mean, the first game he came on, the first game he sort of came in and he didn't know whether he was going to go out wide or cut inside, and then he sort of done, he was quite apprehensive again on Tuesday and he went to lay out wide but it was too short and they broke. But yeah, it's going to take him time, but to be ruthless about it, we haven't really got too much time to sort of wait. So, but yeah, like you say, he's coming back to fitness, but the only way he's going to get that is obviously game time.
Now, Nicky Ojose came on as well, right in the dying stages, which is interesting. He got absolutely wiped out when he tried to make a run forward there. I mean, again, it's only a very brief cameo, but did you see anything to sort of get your hopes up there?
I did, actually. I mean, I'm not one of these people. You know what, 13 months since he's played for us.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's almost like signing a new player again. And when he was wiped out, and I had issues with their right back, was it McMahon?
Yeah,
because he tackled Fozzy and then pulled Fozzy down on top of him to make it look like Fosu was hitting him, and I just thought you horrible person, you know, invariably.
I wasn't. You can't hear enough language like that. Football
yeah,
grounds,
you,
so
no,
yeah.
You don't.
You're nasty,
nasty man.
I'm not a potty mouth like our manager. So when he got wiped out, I mean, he just got up and right, I'm going to get on with it. And think, you know, he had a half sniff of a ball and he was putting himself around. I think he understands it a bit better. I think with Zyro, because he has been out and, you know, he's still looking around and going, sorry, who are you? I recognise the shirt, but I don't recognise the face kind of thing.
Yeah.
And doesn't feel that he can then, you know what, I'll drop a shoulder and have a go. He was looking, do I lay someone off? Do I pass it to someone? Where with Jose, you know, he knows the faces, he knows the shirt, he knows where the goal is. So
overall, do you think a draw was the right result for that game?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're number two. That McGowan, the centre-half, had a good game. I thought he was their best player.
And where do you think it leaves us? I mean, Carl was sort of saying during press day today that it's probably a better result for them than us. You know, obviously, if we get that point, then we could have been in the playoff zone. If they get it, they could have put some real distance between us if they get the 3 points as well. So
yeah, I mean, if we won, obviously mentally us going above them and us having two games in hand is mentally quite devastating for them. But you know, it's not over to the fat lady sings, and I still think we'll pick wins up on the road. But I'm still pointing to those April games. Those home games are going to be crucial. But Yeah, a fair result on the balance of play, I think, thinking about it, as much as gutted I was on Tuesday, I don't think we can grumble with a point, to be honest.
I'm slightly on the, it's like 60-40, I think we'd actually deserved, you know, something a bit more than that, but I think because the way they, only for the way they played.
They were nasty.
Yeah.
A bunch of villains.
And I'm thinking, I think if we get them...
Ne'er-do-wells, whatever they were.
Rapscallions. I want them in the playoffs. I want Bradford in the playoffs now.
Yeah?
I think over two legs or at Wembley, I don't care. I want them in the playoffs. And I want, I'm thinking, because it's a, be the third year in a row they'd get to Wembley. And I think, you know, we could absolutely crush them at Wembley. Big pitch.
So are they like your... So you've got Palace, Millwall, now Bradford.
The list isn't exclusive there, so I've got various other... I've got Ipswich on the list, so, you know...
Oh, poor old Mick.
I saw Mick McCarthy in probably a little while ago, actually. No, of course, it was a first start in a challenge shirt for Sully Kai as well. Now, a player we've been looking forward to seeing and got involved with some flicks. Carl was raving about him after the game.
I thought he was unplayable that first 20 minutes. I thought he was so... He was quick, but he's strong as well. He can look after himself. He's so powerful. And I thought they were terrified of him, I thought, because when you got him driving out, because I thought he was going to start out wide in the Fosu in the centre, but it was more or less the other way, and the three kept changing, which was nice to see. But I thought he was untouched. They couldn't get near him. Mm. They even tried pulling his shirt. Poor old Chico couldn't even get nowhere near him. Couldn't even lace his boots. Yeah. But I thought it was brilliant. But obviously, it looked like he was blowing towards the end. Cause I think we could have gone for a breakaway, and I just don't think he had any more in the tank. And I think he just tried chipping it down the line. But yeah. I was impressed with him, really impressed with Salah.
I mean, we talked about it on Sunday, and I'd said that I think he's a player you need to start with to get him interested in the game,
motivated,
and not bring him on for 10 minutes. I think if we start, and I think that's the difference we saw on Tuesday night.
Excellent. Right, well, Carl Robinson came in to speak to Terry after the game, as he always does. He was very pumped up in some of his interviews after the game, and we'll hear more from that later. But by the time he came into Terry, he's calmed down a bit, but he's still not overly happy, I think, with the officiating.
Well, I'm not entirely sure where to start. Three games in a row, three disappointments in a row after taking the lead. It's almost coming to habit.
Yeah, but I thought our performance in the last two games had been excellent. I can't ask any more from the players. I think today they were excellent in everything I asked them to do. Another goal that takes a deflection. We were speaking after the game just the other day about the one that took a deflection on Saturday. Another deflection today has dropped in, and Solskjaer has got complete control of the situation. When you see the game, when you see the goal back, and you'll see he sort of stops a little bit, and because he's trying to re-get the flight of the ball, but the guy's 3 yards ahead of him can see the deflection and just makes that direct run towards the goal. I think anybody in here can question any of my players. I thought every single one of them were excellent. So we're the best team in the first half. I thought the second half was even, but the referee lost control of the game. Some of the tackles, well, listen, you can say it, but some of the tackles today. And you know what, top level, you know, like Pep Guardiola moaning about what does he call them, the artists. But Tariq and Sule today got treatments I've not seen.
I mentioned it on commentary. I was going to bring it up. I like to have a go at the refs on commentary, but I tend to leave it after that. But I mean, you must have wondered how Bradford ended up with 11 men on the field.
Well, listen, I'm not going to speak about Bradford because I think it's unfair to talk about the opposition. But I think the referee has to take control of the game. He has to take control of the game. And he never. He lost complete control. The challenge is today.
And that first challenge on Tariq came as a direct result of him ignoring the previous five or six that had happened.
I just don't get it. I don't get Josh McGuinness. I don't know what he's done. Has he done something to the referees in the time before he came here? He never gets a free kick, the big man. Never gets a free kick. It's Charlie White got... Do you know that I think we had... I don't know what the percentage stats were, but I think they entered our final third six times in the first half. They have five free kicks. So 90% of the opportunities they got into our, they get a free kick. Well, 80% sorry, with the amount he got in. Yet we got in theirs about 20, 30 times and got two. So how's that possible?
I know you're quite animated on the touchline. I know in the early part of the game that you're obviously talking to the fourth fifth line.
Because I said to him before the game, you've already lost control of the game. There's been three tackles already that you have not done right by, and they were terrible.
Do you end up giving up after a while?
There was one in the first half where Jake got booked, and all of a sudden he got away from someone, got smashed, read the tackle, was late into the next one, and gets a free kick given against him. The penalty on Josh McGuinness when he got pulled down, the penalty on Ezri Konsa when he got pulled down. Mickey Adjozie, you can see he's trying to hit the ball. He's got hands over him. I just don't get.
Well, the thing that I get, and I know we shouldn't necessarily hold better referee, is that just before the corner came in, he deliberately talks to Esri and the man who's marking him after they have a little bit of set to, and said, "Don't do it again." And then when the ball comes in, he completely turns his back on looking at the area that he was.
I pulls him down. Yeah. Listen, mate, I don't
get it.
I'm proud of my players. Yeah. Against a top team, we've looked a good team today. That's a real good test. We were fantastic on Saturday. A deflection. Excellent again tonight. Another deflection led to the goal.
Were you worried that, the first half, it was almost like Doncaster. I mean, they never had a sniff. Bradford.
You're not going to do that for 90 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But were you worried before the game? Obviously, new manager syndrome.
Yes.
Comes in,
but we spoke about this, about let's take the fire out of them early. Don't allow them to gain any momentum. And that was the case today.
Well, I mean, going 1-0 up, not winning, three games in a row, is that a cause for concern?
No.
I know you said before about not taking chances,
because listen, if we're performing badly, and that was the case, yes, but we look like we can go score 2, 3, 4, but our choices in the final third have to be a little bit better sometimes. But don't forget how young Tariq and Soleil is. They're very, very young, and these are little things that we have to put right.
Do you think it took its toll on Tariq, especially towards the end of the game after so many fairly strong tackles?
But he needs to learn, and he'll grow from this, and he'll get better from this.
I suppose the argument to the referees is need a bit of protection on players like Tariq, because if you don't stamp on it early enough, if you pardon the pun, then they're just going to keep doing it.
Yeah, well, you don't stamp on it first. Listen, I think you've hit the nail on the head. You need protection. I'll be calling the PGM well this week, and I'll be sending these tackles too. I'll be sending the last four games tackles on my players. I honestly don't get them. I honestly don't. I'm here to protect my players, and that's my job.
We go again on Saturday, obviously, yep, up at MK Dons.
Yes.
Is it just a case of, as we are, just carrying on?
Keep doing, don't change.
In the expectation,
do not change.
We're actually going to finish and bury something.
Do not change. Keep doing the right things. Keep being positive. Keep moving forward. And don't let anybody affect that.
Throw from Holmes into Solly. Solly cross ball. Foster's on the far side. Get something on it.
Yes!
It's there! Finished off by Foster Caskey. And Charlton have the lead.
You're listening to Charlton Live.
So welcome back. This is Charlton Live, the big match preview here on Maritime Radio. Great to hear from Carl Robinson there, speaking to Terry exclusively for Charlton Live after the game here at the Valley on Tuesday against Bradford. Now, you can see that Carl's obviously quite pumped up still when he's speaking to Terry. And in fact, he was shouting into the microphone. So I had to actually edit the levels to try and make, so that's why it might have even sounded a bit dodgy there, because he was really loud and I had to sort of tone it down a little bit just to make it broadcastable. Now, so absolutely pumped up. Now, you have to remember, when by the time that Carl comes in to speak to Terry for Charlton Live, that's the last interview he does on a match day. He normally has to do up to four interviews. So the first one he'll do is for radio out there in the tunnel, and he'll do the Sky TV one as well. So they're the first two he do. That's when he's still at his very best. And radio, I was lucky enough, I got to go first on Tuesday. Then he'll come and do the press conference, then he'll come and do Terry. So he's normally calmed down a bit after about 15 minutes and he comes to speak to Terry. He was very pumped up on Tuesday when he spoke to me. This is a bit of an outtake that we had to take out of the when we published it online on the BBC Sport website. And you'll see why.
There's a lot of football to play, and I'm sorry if I'm hyped up, but I have to in games like today, because if I'm not hyped, then I'm not f***ing...
We can edit that.
And I'm not proud of my team, I don't know who will.
Proves the point now, doesn't it?
Yeah. So there you go.
Oh dear.
He was certainly... enjoying himself, I think. Well, he's certainly getting passion into it and getting carried away, which is what a lot of people like about Carl, and what a lot of people at the same time don't like about Carl. But that's Carl Robinson for you. I mean, we heard what he had to say after the game there. I mean, furious about the referees, Mark, wasn't he?
Yeah, and you can see his point. Like I said, I mean, the way they set around us and started digging and kicking and falling and diving and fouling, and the referee just went, nah, that's okay. Hold on. You said you've pushed him slightly. Oh, it's a free kick to them.
Mm.
And you're just thinking, if someone's going to be a bad referee, you want them to be equally bad for both sides.
Yeah.
You know, like Stroud.
Yeah. Now, I wasn't in the press conference after. Obviously, I was in my own interview, and we did talk about the performance as well. And I asked him about Bradford coming into the game in the second half. Now, in the press conference, you were telling me after, I think it was possibly Declan from PA, I think he's doing now. You said, you know, Carl came in and started talking about his referee, the referee stuff in there. What exactly did Declan say to
him? So Declan said, would a cynic say that you're using the excuses of the referee to deflect from the fact that you've conceded another late goal and not won a game again? Which, Cole's face was... I thought he was going to go, but he didn't. But you know, I suppose thinking about it, it's a worthy question.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think Cole just went on to elaborate the fact that no, that's not the case. And then he went on to say about the deflection of Donny, and but he said it was frustrating. But he said in no way he's trying to deflect it, because he did say, he did mention that Bradford are a good team, Grayson's a good manager, bloody blah, blah. So
yeah, he does. It's certainly in the BBC interview, he talks about the performance in the second half and Bradford coming back into it. I mean, some might say he extends the period that we played longer for. I think you said we were on top for 70 minutes. I'm not sure. I'd say it was up to half time.
Yeah, I'd say that.
But it's not for me to turn to Carl and say no, it wasn't. This is Carl's opinion that we're there to hear. I mean, overall, still, I mean, he's had a couple of people a bit frustrated with the late goals, and we'll talk about late goals in a little minute. But
yeah, I'm
still happy.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I said on Twitter the other day, I mean, listen, there's a lot of people on Twitter that I follow, and people have been atting me and saying that, you know, they think it should go. Except, and you know, 100%, everyone's entitled to their view. I'm not saying my view is better than anyone else's, but in my opinion,
guys who's emailed in again.
Which one?
The same guy who emailed in the other night.
Oh, we don't
one,
like me. Oh,
right,
love it.
No, he doesn't really.
I think it'll be crazy to let him go. B, I don't think he's going to go because Roland won't pay in it anyway. But I think we're onto something. I really do, but
yeah.
I know it's Marmite.
Yeah, right. We do have an email from Dave Rodden, the same guy. So he's the one who emailed in the other week saying he didn't quite agree with you playing number 10 Posse. Which is a perfectly valid opinion.
Yep.
I've already read this email. It's a very good email. Says hi, Cheltenham Live chaps. Dave Rodden joining in again. Last time out, I disagreed with Nathan RE Fosu as a number 10, then immediately felt bad about myself for doing so.
don't feel bad. It's the whole point of the show.
However, when he went on to say Luke Varney was one of his favourite players, I felt all need for compassion drift away. like a Cheltenham lead in the last 10 minutes. I fear that today I'm going to cut myself off entirely from all of the studio family by saying my patience with Robbo disappeared on Tuesday. I do believe that he has done a tremendous job in attempting to reunify the club in the last 6 months, has tried to play attractive football and has been unlucky with injuries, but his inability to change the direction of a game, and in particular his very poor use of subs, seems to me to be a failure to exercise the most basic of managerial skills. Was there anyone in the Valley who couldn't see that the way the game was going with 35 minutes to go, just after 60 minutes, just the one person, sadly, and he was our gaffer. So we laboured on to an increasingly smaller effect until after the inevitable goal had been scored. Surely Aribo on after 60 minutes. Surely Jacko on with 15 minutes left to go. I realise that we're in the realms of opinions here, and others will have a range of views about who should have come on and who should have gone off, but... And I don't think this is just hindsight. It wasn't it clear that changes were needed? And then our man, does he? I don't like to talk about refs, but that ref that I don't want to talk about should have protected my player's shtick. Every performance like this makes Ned Kelly and his gang's decisions easier and easier. And we know that the Aussies are not fans of whinging poms. I immediately registered my dismay by booking my ticket to Peterborough. Weird customers, eh? So I'm glad you're going to Peterborough, Dave, and you haven't been put off too much by the fact we keep conceding late goals. But, I mean, consider that Dave's certainly not the only one I've seen questioning the subs and maybe the tax. I mean, we'll listen to clips of Carl's press day later, but he certainly mentioned he felt that, you know, he put his hands up for the Oxford game. He felt he made the wrong subs in that one, but he says the last two games he felt we've been unlucky with deflections on goals. Mark, you're scratching your beard.
I am, only because I'm going to just say, you know, again, physically they were battering us, so you put on someone bigger who can batter them back. You know, Lennon's there. Was on the bench, wasn't he? No. And Aribo has got some height on him. But like I say, we didn't have anything else. And I mean, it sounds pretty basic, But when you're, I mean, that Wick is a big fella, you know, and he was throwing himself around and getting onto
Charlie Wyke. That one, Wyke. Yeah,
yeah. And then the first half, Paddy had him in his pocket. Second half, he was moving around a bit and going over to Jay, going over to Chris, you know, and using his physicality a lot more because he knew he could get away with it. And I think, you know, counterbalance that somehow and get rid. So I just think it just comes down to being bullied.
Mm. Right, Marcus Jacks has just sent an email as well. It says, interesting, if you didn't already know that Alex McLeish has been appointed as a Scotland manager. That broke just before the show went live this evening. I think he signed a 4-year deal, I think, with Scotland to become their manager again. Of course, involved in one of the takeover bids, we know with regards Donald Muir, the Scottish bid this is. Now, we don't know who those two would be fronting, if they are fronting anyone or anything like that. So, interesting, I mean, depending on what role he was planning on having in any proposed takeover, that's what we don't know. Would he have been the manager? Would he have been the director of football? Would he have just been in the background with some money? Who knows? We don't know. But that is fairly interesting. I think Rick Everett put on the forum earlier that he believes that two groups of people have now got an agreed price, which is interesting. But until it happens now, it's all just interesting, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, I remember sitting here for a couple of, what was it, last week or the week before, the Thursday show, and it come out saying it was a done deal, but it's a long way to go. I mean, I can't see it happening. I don't know, maybe it happened to before the end of the season or maybe not, but there's not really a lot they can do. The only thing that we'll have to do soon is season ticket prices. But again, we don't know what league we're in, so it's another... Yeah. Another one, but yeah, Alex McLeish. Maybe I don't know. Maybe he was being a director of football. Maybe he was just giving his opinion in sense of a footballing side. Maybe how he thinks of the potential.
So you could be manager of Scotland and probably hold down a full time job in Morrison's. I don't think it would probably be that.
I think half their players do actually, because many of them play in non-league, I imagine. Right, let's move on now. Back on Tuesday evening. Someone eagle-eyed on Facebook someone was down the training ground and had a photo with all the lads, and Alou Diarra was in the background. So someone on Facebook eagle-eyed. So I asked around before the game, and I was told it's probably worth asking Carl after as well, which of course it was. So is Alou Diarra, he's training with us, is there any chance he's going to be offered a deal, Carl?
Obviously, away from today's game, Alou Diarra has been at the training ground. Free agent.
Yeah, in a weird way. I got a phone call from Jacko the other day. I got a phone from Jason Newell. So he's in the area, and someone said, listen, he's played in World Cup finals when he was here. I believe he was like a Rolls Royce when he played here last time. And someone said to me, what he does, he comes into training, he digs people out, he drives the standards of the football club. And someone said, in what's gone on in the last 5 years and in the negative stuff, he was probably one of the positive ones that have come in that regime. That's not for me to say. That's for you, I'm sure, to judge me on that comment. But I believe that's the case. And you know what? What a wonderful man. All right, he's getting old. Is he going to have the legs? We just don't know. But you just don't. Why not keep him training in case that possibility might arise? So you just have to make sure you seek every avenue. And that's what we're doing at this moment in time.
So certainly not denying that we may, if we see fit, offer him a contract a little while down the line. I mean... He was an excellent player when he was here before. He sort of mugged us off a little bit when he left. I mean, by mugged us off, I mean he mugged Katrine off, and therefore it was funny. But, I mean, joined the AS Nancy a day after we agreed to cancel his contract.
Bance.
Yeah. But take him back?
Oh, mate, in a heartbeat. I don't think he's going to be starting every week in, week out. But I think that position, I mean, he played a lot at centre-half for us, but... I think in games where we need to slow the game, like Tuesday, once we want to dictate the tempo a little bit and slow the game down, you bringing him on in that middle, you maybe with Cashy or for Cashy, I think it'll be brilliant. I mean, obviously, yeah, he is old, but I can't, you know, shouldn't take too long to get fit. I assume he's quite fit. I don't think he's like the old Ronaldo and like 18 stone now, but...
he looked quite slim in the photos. Yeah. I mean, he's 36 years old, Mark. So, but I mean, you can't deny his quality. He played in the World Cup final for France, unless we forget, and played at the highest level in quite a few countries, really.
Oh, no, terrific. And a lovely player to watch when he was here. Again, you know, his leaving was a bit sour-tasting. But again, you don't know what gets put out, you know. And it was quite late after the it was January, wasn't it? And he'd gone in.
I can't remember. I think it was
the window shut, and then the next day it was cancelled by mutual agreement, and then the day after he signed for Nancy.
Yeah, I think from vaguely that's what it was. So, I mean, what sort of role would do you see him playing in the squad if he was to come back in? I mean,
holding mid.
Yeah,
I mean, that's really.
And do you think he would dislodge anyone who's currently in the starting 11, or would he be more of a bench or a squad option?
A bench, and then possibly for Kashi, because he would probably be able to free up midfield because he is good, you know, at this level. And like you say, you know, he's played quite in quality teams. And at this level, they should be just like walking it. So,
So Nathan, overall, do you think he's got a good chance? I mean, we'll see.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
What happens with the training, I guess. But
yeah, I think there's a very good chance. I think we've still got, how many games we've got left? 15 games or something like that? Even if he's about for 10 of them, so there's a lot of points to play for.
Nothing to lose.
I think we missed it. I mean, Kashi and Jake are brilliant. Jacko's a decent option, but Jacko's one of those gritty players. I still think we need someone who can really dictate a game. And I think that he does that. He done it before, and I think he'll do it, because you don't physically might not be pacey, but you still don't lose your brain, you still don't lose your feet. So,
and even if he doesn't get a squad offer at the end of it, now surely to have a player with that experience around the training ground, and Carl was talking about how he seems to be a very level headed player and someone who can impart wisdom, so even if we are just helping him get fit, you know, you'd assume he'd be a positive influence around Sparrow's Lane.
Well, it seems to be. I mean, when you see like Darren Campbell was here last week, you know, helping him with a running, and you know, you got to look at what's going to give you that extra 5%, what's going to give you that extra 10% in games. Is his experience and knowledge and how he's going to be training with players do that? You know, I think it would, and I think, you know, he'd be a good addition. You know, anywhere where you could find a sort of like a role for him.
Excellent. Right, let's have a quick break here. On Charlton Live, when we come back, we're going to try and get to the bottom of why we keep conceding these late goals at the moment.
Hans Dennis is fed in, lovely touch, goes round his player, chips across the box. Jackson! Oh, yes! What a goal by Johnny Jackson! Arriving late in the box, Holmes Dennis with a pinpoint cross, and the skipper's given Charlton the lead.
Charlton Live. Welcome back, it's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. We're just talking off air there about young Carlin and Grant. He's out banging them in for Crawley Town. I mean, it was a 4-1 defeat they had at Luton on Tuesday evening. But that's 3-3 now, and it's going to do. You know, excellent for his confidence when he comes back next season, you'd hope.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he's a good player. People are going to say, oh, why don't we let Josh go and keep him? But different kind of player. I mean, a different kind of level as well. You've got to think he's dropped down a level. And he was looking, you know, pretty sharp for the last couple of matches when he was actually getting on for us. So I'm not surprised he's banging him in at that level. You know, you'd expect him to.
Yeah, so. And when he comes back next year, I mean, do you think he could be a different player? Because he's probably a player that... I mean, I've said it before, we forget how young he is. But, I mean, because he seems to have been around for 3 or 4 years now. But, you know, he sort of didn't hit the heights you'd hope in the last couple of years. But at the same time, it's probably because we chucked him in way too young.
Yeah, he came in too early, and he needs games. He needs to play week in, week out. It's all right, you know, making a sub appearance and he'll score a goal, and then he'll be on the bench again the following week, and then he might not train well and he'll be out the squad. That's not doing him any good. He needs to get these 5 months he's going to be on loan. He's more or less going to be starting every week, and that's what he needs to know. He needs to know what it's like to be in and what it's like to have that expectation. He's got 3-3 now. Can he make it 4? Can he make it 5? And that's what he needs, which he's never going to get that opportunity. Mm. But next year, who knows? He's obviously an option.
Hmm. Excellent. Right, now obviously it's become a bit of a recurring theme over the last couple of weeks that Charlton have started conceding late goals. We talked about it on Sunday's show. I think at the point before Sunday's show, it was 27% of the goals we've conceded had come in the last 10 minutes of games. And I think if you took that down to 89 minutes and onwards, we dropped 11 points in games and only gained, from memory, one, which was the Peterborough comeback, which obviously scored twice in that time. And it's become certainly a bit of a bugbear now because it's happened in the last 3 games. I mean, it was 10 minutes from the end on Tuesday, but still reasonably late. But of course, the Oxford game we conceded twice, 89 and 94. Doncaster we conceded on 94, although it was a bit unlucky, to be fair. So it's had a few fans worried. And certainly, I've seen a lot of fans questioning tactics, fitness, all these different things. So Carl was asked why he thinks it keeps happening during today's press day, and this is what he had to say.
Carl, Charlton threw away a lead for the 3rd successive game against Bradford City on Tuesday. What do you put that down to? Is it a question of players losing concentration at key moments, or is it an accumulation of individual mistakes or a collective one?
None. If you look at the 2 goals we've conceded recently, they've been 2 deflections that have ended up in the path of the opposition. The first one, the Oxford one, was my fault. I took full responsibility for that. I never shy away from when I make a mistake. But I can't blame anybody for a deflection to come off a defender trying to block a cross, or a defender trying to block a shot and it landed in the arms of somebody else. So that's just the way it is, and that's just the way you've got to deal with the unpredictability of the industry. We're in a good place, but if we were playing well, then you know, we just need to get that second goal and make it a little bit more comfortable for ourselves.
Carl, just with the late goals in the last 3 games, on social media, there was a bit of fans kind of questioning the fitness of the players. Do you have any concerns?
No, I think you can answer that one for me now. I think we've just sat down and gone through all the data with you. I think it's important that I'm transparent with you, and you can be transparent with the supporters, because at the end of the day, in the modern day world that we live in, that they deserve an answer to some of the questions that they have. So that's why I came in this morning, and I was very detailed in what we had to show you in the high intensity meters per minute and the distance covered and the increase in that in the last 15 minutes, surprisingly. So in them, there's been no drop off whatsoever. If anything, increased distance covered. And the one that we look for is high intensity meters per minute. So how many meters they cover within a minute, but at an intense level. And that shows a true reflection on the fitness levels of the human being. I know we're very, very happy with where we sit on that.
Says Carl, asked about the goals themselves. Reese tweeted in, said he's going to turn off every time that Carl comes on at the moment. He's turned into Charlton Excel. I've always said when we're losing, Carl will frustrate people with his interviews, and when we're winning, they'll enjoy them. So interesting by the sounds of it today at press day, before the actual press conference got underway, Carl took in some stats to prove that the players weren't struggling with fitness, and in fact that their high intensity runs in the last 15 minutes of games were going up rather than down. So in a way, ironically, he's sort of taken away an excuse for himself there. He could blame the players' fitness, but it's not, and he's protecting these players there. So I mean, he says he feels there's been an element of bad luck in the last 2 games, but he puts his hand up for the Oxford game.
Yeah, I tend to do it a lot, which a lot of people don't like me for, but I agree with Cole. The Oxford game, I think taking the 2 wingers off left us very exposed. Doncaster, yeah, that was an unlucky goal. I mean, to be fair, he did sort of loop. Yeah, Tuesday, I still haven't seen it back, but I didn't think it got a deflection, so I can't really comment. But I think Doncaster especially, I don't think it was concentration, because that was the only shot they had the second half. Mm. So it's not like they were pummeling us and we were under pressure and we dropped. We were in control. So, but yeah, I mean, fitness wise, I've never thought we looked unfit. But I think because it's all happened in the space of 3 games now, it's natural for the questions to come out.
I mean, people are always going to say, Mark, that, two things, really. I mean, obviously, if we score more of our chances at creating our dominant spells earlier on in the game, then we won't be under, you know, a late goal won't matter anyway, if it's tiredness or not, which it doesn't seem to be, or if it's bad luck. But people will say, you make your own luck. If you're letting Bradford come onto you for the majority of the second half, then they are going to get a ball into the box that deflects. It's bound to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're missing, I don't, really, is a player who, when they get the ball, look like they have all the time in the world. Imagine, if remember Klaus Jensen. Every time he got the ball, it looked like he had 5 metres of space. He could look up, he could look for a pass, he could take it on. I think, you know, the high intensity in the last 15 minutes is because we're chasing around like Jack Russells after rabbits. And we're not getting the ball. And when we are getting the ball, we don't have a single player who's calm with it. Because they're thinking, I don't want to give it away. You know, no one's making a run. What am I going to do with it? You know, it gets taken off, it gets given away. And they're running after chasing it again. I think missing that kind of player who can, you know, look up and look a pass and say, you know what? There's no one on that side of the pitch. If I just ping it out for a throw further up the pitch, and, you know, it relieves the pressure. You know, it's not ideal. You think, well, I'll keep hold of it. But when you're being pressurised that hard, you know, it's difficult to do. You need that kind of, like I say, you need a Klaus Jensen.
Do you think it's all becoming a mental thing now, though? Now it's happened a lot the last few games in a row. And I mean, it'd be fascinating to see what happens on Saturday if we're 1-0 up with 5 minutes left, 10 minutes left, how the players react to it. Are they going to be thinking, oh, it's going to happen again?
I think it might be playing a little element now, because I think, like I said, it's happened in a spate of three games. And I think naturally, I think they might sit deeper. I mean, especially after Tuesday, will they, like you say, if we were 1-0 up on Saturday, will they naturally sit deeper? Like you do anyway, it's natural, but will it be playing on their minds? It probably will. But that's obviously when they've got to get some gonads and just, you know, and literally just put a shift in. And I just think if you had someone like, don't get me wrong, I think Paddy and Ez were done really well on Tuesday, but someone like Piercy, literally, he'll be the one shouting at everyone, you know, like, don't let this go, and I'll be more confident. But yeah, we'll see. But hopefully it doesn't creep into the game too much, because I think when you start being apprehensive, you tend to make more mistakes.
I mean, do you think there is something tactically we could do differently? Because I mean, Carl sort of said it himself. We tried everything recently. We tried going a bit more attacking against Oxford, and that cost us. We tried shoring things up on Saturday against Doncaster, and that cost us. I mean, on Tuesday, we tried not really doing anything until the last 10 minutes in terms of subs.
Well, I think if we're 1-0 up against Milton Keynes on Saturday, in the last 10 minutes, he should take off Josh McGuinness and put on Dylan Phillips. We go with two keepers, you know, and possibly we might not concede. It's so difficult, because I think it is so random. Like we said on Sunday, the fact that it's happened recently so often, it makes us thinking it's a trend. I said, but, you know, you look at it over a space of, you know, a season.
But even though with the season, we're still in the last 10 minutes, we're still that 27% that we looked at. So
yeah, but, you know, you only, as you said, you know, we haven't scored goals between the 40th minute and the 50th minute. You know, so why aren't we looking at that? Thinking, oh, I mean, we could be scoring either side of half time. We haven't done that at all. So, you know, you can make stats and statistics come down. I mean, I presume there's a psychologist who works, sports psychologist, who works with the players.
I assume they must have.
You know, we've got the fitness guys, so and I presume some of the stuff they would do would be psychologically. And one of the things you'd look at saying, right, is it in their heads? It's how do you get it out of their heads if it is there? You know, I don't think, to be honest, I don't think it is. I think because the intensity of a match, you know, we've all played football, and, you know, I don't think, you know, during a match you're actually thinking, oh, what if we concede now? You're just concentrating exactly what you're doing at that moment in time. I don't think you're thinking 5 minutes ahead or 10 minutes ahead. I think you're concentrating on where the ball is, where the job is. You know, that's the way I'd look at it.
It's interesting, obviously, coming back to the point about fitness that was brought up during press day. At the start of pre-season, the lads went to Ireland, and we were shown that this was a really high intense day. You know, training plan that they had in the first couple of weeks. And in fact, when we had to play almost the entire game against Bristol Rovers on the first day of the season with 10 men, I remember asking Kyle about it. You know, was that the fitness training paying off? And so, I mean, he answered that question with stats today. So, I mean, do you think we look a fit team, and do you think, you know, the stats apparently seem to point that way?
Yeah, I think we are. I think we're absolutely fine. I think, I mean, look at Josh, he don't stop running. I think
we're not a fit studio. Mark's just pulled up with cramp.
I've done a Mavadidi.
Yeah. Oh, right. I wonder what was happening. I was like, I won't look.
How is it, mate? Do you want me to push your leg?
No, it's all right.
Sorry, no, carry on.
That's all right. No, it's fine. I'm just looking after the elderly, aren't I? Oh, this is weird. I've never had this experience before.
Shall I put my clothes back on?
I don't know.
So, fit team.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think... I've never looked at it and thought, well, we look really unfit. But, yeah, I mean, when sort of situations happen like this, you're always going to have people pull up and, you know, ask certain questions, which is fine. And I think Carl's answered it. You know, as he would, and he's brought out the stats. But yeah, it's disappointing in terms of us going forward. I just think when we were in those last 10 minutes, like if we looked at us the first 20 minutes, we put our foot on the ball and we put it to them and we kept our composure, whereas the last 10 we seemed to go a bit more direct. So maybe it's just a case of, right, let's get our foot on the ball. Maybe that's when you'd bring a Jacko on, or, you know, instead of bringing a centre half on and then inviting pressure, because they'll go, all right, we'll put another one up top then. Mm. You bring Jacko on and go, right, let's settle the game down a little bit.
Right, let's have a quick break. Final 10 minutes of the show while Mark tries to get his legs back in order. And then we'll look ahead to Saturday's game up at Milton Keynes.
Jackson is in! Yes!
Shout and lie. Mark's still stretching his
just standing up. Freestyle.
Yeah, so let's go straight into the preview of the MK Dons game. Now, of course, Carl Robinson returning to his former side, looking ahead to Saturday's game up at Stadium MK.
And no doubt it would be perfect to beat your old club on Saturday. Do you expect a hot reception?
No, I don't know. I'm sure it'll be okay. The respect that I have to that football club and the people, I think when we consider, I think Charlton were below MK when things were changed over. And obviously the upturn in form, what's going on here and what's going on there, I feel that it's you know what people don't realise, obviously the controversy that surrounds the football club, the people that go and watch it week in, week out are great people, and it's a shame to see them where they are. Me and the chairman still speak, we've got a good relationship again now, but with all due respect, I think they also know. And one thing they certainly know is how passionate I am about winning. But before the game and after the game, my respect for them would be impeccable, but it always is to every team that we play against. But you're in the game and there to win, and that's just the way we are. We're going there to win, and that's our objective. And listen, when you look at their last six results, I think you can say about ourselves, but they've only lost them games by one goal. They 1-0 to Walsall, 1-0 to Oldham, 2-1 against Portsmouth. There's been a few games that it's only been a one goal swing, and they could have argued that it could have been so different. But that's the nature of the industry when you're under the beast. When you're down them positions, everything the opposition seem to hit goes in. Watching their games last few days, they're playing a back five with a diamond in midfield, which is a bit different. You can see they're starting to get a style and a way back of playing. We're under no illusions how difficult it's going to be, but we're fully focused on the job.
And of course, a lot of familiar faces, including the new manager.
Yeah, he worked, doesn't he? When I was last there, he's a good person. He left, obviously, went to away with England. I think he's been given a job. Maybe it's a bit too late in some ways in relation to after the transfer windows, or during the transfer windows, the back end of it, should I say. But listen, what's gone on there, he's just trying to pick it up and change the methodology once again, or a philosophy. And people can talk about what is one or what isn't one. It's either a winning one or a losing one. And we've just been speaking about that earlier, that regardless of how you play, you've got to put points on the board. They play through the thirds very aggressively. If you get disconnected at any time, they'll pick it off. We've got to be patient in our build-up, got to be patient in our outer possession work. We've got to force them into areas where we want the ball to be, rather than them getting into areas where we don't want them to be. We've got to be very astute and very cute in our movement patterns. But that's not too dissimilar to a lot of other games that we've played this season. And we'll be very, very focused. There's going to be a lot of people that I do know. And we obviously be a weird one going back, because last time I went back, it was almost immediately after leaving. So it'll be nice to see a few familiar faces. But then the most important thing is 3 points at 5 o'clock.
And injuries? Have you got any players back available to you on Saturday?
No, it's the same squad as the Reeves. He'll be back in the squad. Obviously, he had a personal issue he had to attend to the other day, so that'll be the same squad.
So there's Carl looking ahead to Saturday's game back at his old stomping ground in Milton Keynes against the NK Dons team that have lost their last five in all competitions. And their new manager, Dan Michi, we're going for, has lost every game so far, which obviously isn't what he was hoping for. Would you reckon, how do you see things going? Change the team? Or
If everyone's 100%, I'd keep exactly the same. I wouldn't change anything.
It's going to be too soon for Piercy.
Yeah,
Ben Reeves, who wasn't able to sit on the bench on Tuesday because of a family emergency, is back involved. Nothing?
No, I don't think anyone warranted to be dropped from Tuesday, I don't think. I think Marshy had a good game, Sully had a good game, T had a good game. I don't think anyone had a bad game, so I think it'd be pretty harsh unless someone's got a bump. But we
had some tweets in from Will Bonin. I read them all out, but he's calling for Aribo to come back in. Obviously, we had that good spell with Aribo, Mark, while you're standing there, and he let go. I mean, for me, I've always said that I thought Forsakowski is one of our players of the season for me. But there's been others who've noticed that since Aribo's gone back out of the team, we've started to struggle to win games again.
Yeah, I didn't think Aribo had done anything bad enough to be dropped out of the team. I think, you know, for a player with a shirt on the pitch, if they're in good form and good nick, keeps it. And, you know, I don't agree with someone who's been injured coming straight back into the team. I mean, if Jake had come back onto the bench and Aribo had stayed in midfield, I don't think he'd have had any complaints. So, would I change it now? It depends. If their scouts have watched Tuesday night's game, you know, part of their tactics is going to be, right, how can we rough them up? And, you know, Carl's got to be balancing out, how can I, you know, counterbalance that maybe? And maybe stick Aribo in for Jake. You know, and I don't think that would be a bad decision. You know, he'd scored three goals, was looking good, and then get dropped.
It's one of the proper selection headaches that we actually have in the squad, and there's not too many of them, I guess, on the wing as well at times. So I read you out Will's tweets. He said, keeps the faith. Yes, we let another late goal in, and yes, we've lost 7 points in the last three games, but sacking Robbo now would be pointless. We still have two games in hand, which is six potential points that would help maintain the playoffs. And then he says Aribo must start the next game with no excuses. And he goes on to say, we always have a bad run in February. It's the most Cheltenham month of the year. We didn't lose tonight, talking about the game on Tuesday. We gained a point that we didn't have. Three would have been better, though, but the two games in hand will decide the playoffs for us. One good result will set us back on track and to keep the faith. I mean, that is huge. If we can get a result up a Saturday, like I say, against a Milton Keynes team who are struggling for form at the moment, then I mean that could be big for us. Just to get us, you know, this sort of monkey off our back a little bit of the points we've dropped over the last couple of games. If we can see a game out, especially if it's a tight win, ironically that might give us a little bit more. More of a boost than a comprehensive one, just because we would have got over that hoodoo of not seeing the game out recently.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think we'll win on Saturday, and don't want to jinx it. I think we'll win fairly comfortably on Saturday. I really do.
That's it. Everyone bet on a loss.
I'm not saying it'll be 5-0, but I can't. I think we're due a decent win. I think for that first 20 minutes alone, I think those front three. Most teams would be petrified of them. Whether or not, like you say, he'll bring Joe in because it's away, I don't know, but I think Joe's wasted in the DM. I think he's better further forward, which means you're going to have to play him number 10 and you've got to drop one of T, Marshy or Saleh. But I think we'll be fine, and I think once we get that, I think we just need that bit of momentum at the moment. Forget about these last three games, and then we'll all be singing and dancing, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, is there anyone you'd swap out from the wings, perhaps? I mean, certainly Kai Kaidi's first game on Tuesday.
No,
Mikhail Zairo with a chance, maybe?
No, I mean, Carl said himself that Zairo wasn't fit enough to start a game. I think on the wing, I think Fozzy and Marshall, you keep them. Kakai might be the only one who you might change, just so Reeves can visit his old club and show him what they're missing. So... I'm with Nathan. I think we'll win Saturday. So
yeah, big game for Ben Reeves. Actually, if you look at how well Mark Marshall performed against his old team on Tuesday, I mean, you'd hope for a similar reaction by by Ben Reeves, really, wouldn't you? Because like I said, it possibly hasn't quite hit the heights that we were hoping for. I mean, he's had some good games, he's had some average games.
Yeah, I think we've seen flashes, but it's not been consistent. I think that's what the problem is with Ben. I think everyone knows he's a good player at this level, especially in the number 10 role. I think sometimes he can drop too deep when he's getting sort of marked out of a game a little bit, and he's not as effective sitting that deep. But yeah, I just think he just needs a run of games. But it's been start with injuries and obviously with the season. But yeah, hopefully he can pull something out of the bag on Saturday.
Right, so time to look ahead to our predictions and to our cashy back bet. Nath, have you decided what the options are going to be for the cashy back this week?
Not yet. I was going to look at a chance to concede in the last 10 minutes, but I thought that'd be cruel. But I don't know. I might put it out to vote, but I reckon we're going to win 3-0.
Yeah, that's your official match prediction of 3-0 win, Mark.
I'm going 2-1, McGuinness and Marshall. Yeah.
And you think the lead's
I think we're going to be 2-0 up. Yeah. And I think they're going to get a late one, and then it'll be all hands to the pump.
And hopefully we've got the legs to see it out, unlike you, of course. Who's running now?
I'm still looking for a physio.
Yeah, I'm going to give my prediction as well, since we got enough time for it. I think we're going to do it this weekend. I think we need a result. I think we're going to put it out of the bag. We'll get back on track. Hopefully Bradford will drop more points again. I mean, the more you think about it, as disappointing as the final scores on Tuesday, considering our first half, there's more drop points for Bradford. It's another game they haven't won as well. So hopefully that will affect their confidence as well. But of course they've got Simon Grayson. He's probably going to win the league with him because he's a very good manager. So we'll see. Right, we have run out of time, unfortunately, on Charlton Live this evening, the big match preview. Nathan, thank you for coming in.
Cheers, Lou.
You've been Mark Newbury, and yeah.
Are you still standing?
Literally still standing. So thank you, Mark, for coming in. Whoever's here on Sunday will be here on Sunday, which is me and two other people probably. We'll discuss that later. But let's hope that we'll be talking about 3 points for Charlton in a big game up at Stadium MK. Good luck to all of you coming up there to enjoy the game with me as well. Let's hope it is 3 points. We'll see you on Sunday.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.